Your classic 100 for this year is Music for the Screen. A great excuse to catch up with Australia's greatest film composer, Nigel Westlake. He's done such scores as Babe, you'll hear about that later, and Miss Potter. Nigel, you come from a musical family, a very musical family. Your dad was clarinetist in the West Australian Symphony Orchestra, so no surprises that you took up a career in music. But why a film composer?
Yeah, look, I never considered that I would be a composer at all, actually, for quite a long time after I began my professional career in music. I desperately wanted to play the clarinet and follow in Dad's footsteps, possibly into the orchestra or wherever it would take me. You know, I used to write silly pieces of music because I thought it would make me a better musician and would make me a better clarinet player. And one thing led to another. And my mother became aware that I was interested in doing a bit of composition. And she cut out this little ad in the paper that said the Australian Film and Television School is doing its first ever music and film course.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And at the end of the process, this lovely guy, James McCarthy, who was the head of music at the then Film Australia, came up to me and he said, look, I really loved your work and how would you feel about working on some documentaries? And that was great. I did, I don't know, about a dozen or so over a few years, and the editor of one of them introduced me to a director of a feature, and I got my first feature job, and one thing led to another. Yeah. So started thinking, well, I better start taking this composition thing a little more seriously. So,
It all started with your mum nagging you with a clipping from the newspaper.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think she ever imagined I would become a composer either, but she knew that I sort of had this interest, and she said, oh, this looks like it could be a good fit for you. And it was,
wonderful. Nigel Westlake with you on Classic Breakfast. Nigel, are there films you remember watching as a kid or growing up where you really noticed the music and it really had an impact on you?
That's interesting you should ask that, because my earliest memories of being aware of music in film where, as a young boy, watching TV, and there was this movie that used to come on, it seemed to come on once a year, every year, for the whole of my childhood. It was called The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. Oh. And it was full of contrabassoons, and I could hear contrabass clarinets and large menacing brass, huge percussion and sweeping strings. And it wasn't until years later that I worked out this was the work of the great Bernard Herrmann. And I've since listened to the score again, and sure enough, it's just a magnificent piece of music, and very much in the style of almost a Rimsky-Korsakov, as you might imagine, the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Scheherazade kind of vibe. And I've since become a huge fan, and I might sound very old-fashioned, but he really is a composer who I hold in the absolute highest regard as a huge influence and as a composer of the utmost musical integrity.
Nigel Westlake with you on Classic Breakfast, talking about his life as a film composer. Nigel, you've written some great big blockbusters. You've also written a lot of documentary scores as well. Is there a difference in your approach to the different genres?
There certainly is. I mean, I haven't done any documentaries for a while, actually, but the main ones I've done have been the IMAX series of documentaries, and I'm talking about Antarctica, Solimax, The Edge, and Imagine, which were all done with the wonderful director John Wiley. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I look at these images, and sometimes they don't say anything to me, or I just get completely overwhelmed, and, what am I supposed to be doing here? You know, I look at a helicopter flying over a huge expanse of ice. I think, well, this could be anything. I could go anywhere with this. And so I really looked to the director for guidance there. And I remember once my first meeting with John Wiley, we were working on Antarctica, and he gave me a copy of the film, and it had a lot of Ennio Morricone's music on it already as a sort of temp, what we call a temp score. The editor had put all his favourite Ennio Morricone pieces, which that's hugely intimidating for a young composer, especially one who, hardly had any experience.
No pressure.
No pressure, yeah. And so I thought, okay, well, why don't I just kind of copy that? and so we're flying through this canyon of ice with a totally pathetic poor man's version of, you know, something from The Mission that I'd concocted. When I look at it, back at it now, I'm just absolutely squirming in my seat. And I played it through to John. I turned around and he was just silent. And he just said, well, that did absolutely nothing for me. And, and he got out of his chair and he started walking around. I could see his body language was like, he's really angry and he's wondered what he's done getting this young, inexperienced composer to write for his film. He said, I want to feel the weight of the ice, you know, millions and millions of tons of ice crushing me. And I want to feel something, for God's sake, I want an emotional connection here. And I just thought, oh no, I'm going to get fired. And he left the room and I sort of kind of picked myself up and I just started bashing the keyboard. Thousands of tons of ice, I kept thinking to myself as I bashed out these chords. And they became the sort of iconic big power chords of the Antarctica score. When I eventually played it to him, it was completely different to what I'd first played. And he actually started getting quite excited. He said, yes, I can feel the ice burning, coming down on me.
Nigel Wesley with you on Classic Breakfast this morning. Nigel, I wanted to ask you about your best-known score so far, Babe. It's absolutely wonderful, obviously. But why the inclusion of the Saint-Saëns?
I was the second composer to come on board with Babe.
Oh, right.
It was firstly offered to the Hollywood composer Jerry Goldsmith. And my understanding is that he wrote a complete score for the movie. And it was rejected by the director and the producer. And they cast around locally in Sydney for someone who might be appropriate. And I was, I believe, one of five or six local composers who submitted ideas. And I'd done like a couple of lesser-known features and a couple of, a few documentaries for Film Australia. And again, it was a huge kind of leap for me and leap of faith for them to give me the job. But I went in for a meeting, took home a video cassette of three sequences from the movie, and I put it on and my jaw dropped and I just saw these quirky characters and I absolutely fell in love with it. And my job was to write three short scenes of about 5 minutes each and then bring back my ideas a week later. I can tell you, I didn't sleep for an entire week. I just kept writing, rewriting, fine-tuning, re-recording. I was so excited. I said, oh, this is my, I've got to get this job. Like, this is amazing. The response I got from George Miller and Chris Noonan was very enthusiastic and they invited me on board. But in the process of making the film, they had come across this reggae song called If I Had Words, and the lyrics seemed to resonate with the film, and so they incorporated it into the movie, the scene where Farmer Hoggett sings the song to bring the pig back to life after he gets sick. One way or another, they worked out that this was a theme that actually the reggae song had borrowed from the Saint-Saëns' Third Symphony. And they thought, well, wouldn't it be great to integrate some of the Third Symphony into the score as well? So that became Babe's theme. I think the score was just over 62 minutes in all, and the Saint-Saëns occupies about 10 minutes of the entire movie. Yeah, so it was very much a fait accompli, and my brief was to incorporate the melody from the Saint-Saëns Symphony as Babe's theme into the score seamlessly. Yep. And, that's how it's going to be. And I resisted at first, naively. I thought, oh, this should all be an original score, surely. Like, we shouldn't be kind of referring to the classics. But then I realized much later, since I've been performing the score for Babe Live with full symphony orchestra, that it's actually really beautiful to have these classical music references, sort of like they were described by the New York Times as little Easter eggs in the score. It's something that people recognize, and it's sort of, it shows, it kind of indicates where, the heritage of the score, the music that they're listening to, it all sort of comes as part of this lineage.
Nigel Westlake, I just want to pick up on something you said earlier. You were the second composer to work on Babe. The first one was Jerry Goldsmith. His score was rejected. Did you know this at the time?
No, I found out later. And
was it while you were still writing the score?
Yes. Gosh. Yes, it was. And yeah, he actually said, look, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to show you a little bit about of the score that Jerry submitted. It was very cartoony. Like, he'd approached it like the animals were quirky, comical cartoon characters. That's sort of exactly the opposite of what we were hoping for. We wanted to give the animals a sense of integrity through the music and give them, you know, imbue them with deep emotion. So, yeah, it was kind of very interesting to see what Jerry had done, just to be told, okay, now you can steer away from that.
Yes, but it must have been quite something to know you were following on from Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah, I couldn't quite believe it, actually, when I found out. It was like, because, of course, he was one of my great heroes.
Well, Nigel Westlake, thank you for spending some time with me on Classic Breakfast this morning.
My absolute pleasure, Russell. Thanks for having me.